from 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. Live from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis.
This dude is a freaking animal.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests, Broncos head coach Sean Payton, Bears general manager Ryan Poles, Commanders head coach Dan Quinn, Seahawks general manager John Schneider, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We're back here in Indianapolis, Indiana, downtown convention center for another day hanging in the media center, welcoming you into our fold on Disney Plus on the ESPN app. We're here on ESPN Radio all 3 hours. Rich Eisen along with my guys, Chris Brockman and TJ Jefferson, light the fake candle. Oh, you've got, is that a remote?
It's not a game, Rich. It is not a game. Let me just, for people, bam!
Wait a minute.
You know?
This candle has a remote?
Why does that have a remote? Bam. Why wouldn't it have a remote? You know, like,
I mean, okay. Bam. So the candle is lit.
Wow.
And now
that's
Sean
crazy.
Payton can show up.
Yeah, of course.
But, he did tell me. He's like, I'm not showing unless there's a candle lit by remote.
Right.
So
that's how we get down.
Anybody.
He's aware. Yeah, he knows.
You know, we've got... he won a Super Bowl. Nick Sirianni's on in hour three. He won a Super Bowl.
Yep.
John Schneider's on in hour number three. He's the general manager walking around here fresh off of a
Super Bowl.
Ryan Poles trying to get to a Super Bowl.
Dan Quinn won one with Seattle. Yeah.
You know, Dan Quinn won one with Seattle. And then who's stopping by? Reuben Bain is walking around
really?
This building.
I saw him.
We're going to get him here.
Yeah. TJ thought he was bigger than Reuben Bain, and I'm like, bro, are you sure about that?
Wait, hold on a second. When did this happen?
Because when he first, I saw him about 50 feet away. I was like, I'm not sure of how tall he is. And then he got here. I was like, oh, okay, never mind.
I thought you came into the building saying, I know defensive linemen are going to be strolling around the media center.
Well, I knew linebackers would be here.
I will be bigger. Well, linebackers and, you know, pass rushers who might be technically linebackers because at some point teams don't want to pay them as defensive ends. That's how
that much works
around here, you know.
Weird. There's some big boys rolling around
here.
What
team would do that?
You know, and so here the way it works, folks out there, certainly if you're watching and you could see all the cameras behind us, those are cameras that are pointed at the podiums that are on the opposite side of the room. And the podiums are where all the general managers and the coaches spoke yesterday. There's a handful left that have yet to speak. And so now mostly prospects are going to be up at these podiums. And what they do is they show up at these podiums and they hit the media circuit the day before they're all working out. So they're working out on Thursday, the defensive line group. So they're going to be strolling around. Very large individuals whose job it is to tackle the quarterbacks in the league are here today. On Thursday, it'll be those who are working out on Friday, which is a group of tight ends, defensive backs, and things of that nature. And then on Friday, those who are working out on Saturday, running backs, wide receivers, quarterbacks for the big, huge day, they'll be here on Friday. So Fernando Mendoza, who's the photograph right behind you right now in our random photographs, TJ Jefferson, he's going to be strolling around here on Friday.
How about that?
Yeah.
Something in the air tonight.
So that's the way it works. That's the way it works. Arvel Reese, let's do that one first. He spoke earlier today.
Okay.
And his conversation is of interest to people because how Is he an off-the-ball linebacker? Right. Is he a pass rusher? You know, if you're in a situation where some scouts think you should play here and some scouts think you should play there and on the field, you may not get drafted by somebody if they feel that you're somebody other than what they see on tape.
Yeah, where do you fit in their scheme?
Where do you fit in their scheme?
Yeah.
And Arvell Reese, who could be potentially a New York Jet number two overall based on some mock drafts, yep. had this to say about how he views himself.
Team just pretty much been asking me what I wanted to do, you know, just seeing where my mind was at. Just be telling them I think I'm an outside linebacker, edge, potentially. I think I got a lot to get better at outside linebacker and edge as far as, you know, pass rushing and coverage, but I think I can adapt to it quick. I haven't even scratched the surface with really what I can do pass rushing for real. Like, I'll be an inside linebacker indie the whole week. Like, I think I can get way better at pass rushing for sure.
Let me just tell you.
Okay, you're not bigger than him, TJ.
I am, as you know, not an all 32 guy. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I've seen him this, and I think he's that, or whatever. What he is somebody to be feared.
Yeah.
Okay?
I was kind of scared just listening to him talk.
Listen, Sonny Styles is walking around here, too, and Caleb Downs is going to be walking around here, I believe, tomorrow. And they've got some defensive tackles, too, who, you know, wore the Buckeyes on the back of their helmets. And I'll just tell you, you know, you have to account for this guy. I can't imagine you're not going to draft him because he thinks he's playing a position that you don't think he could play.
Yeah.
Basically, it's just like you have a set of fingers. You need to put them in the dirt and go hunt that guy.
Go get that dude in the
or
backfield.
Or stand there and try and, you know, make you think that he can drop on a cover. He's awesome. And if he's the second overall pick, that wouldn't surprise me by any stretch of the imagination. But it was just interesting. I'm just your opinions of seeing the sizes of these guys walking around this room.
It just seems like every year these guys are bigger.
Right.
It's
the truth.
You watch the tape, they're faster,
it's
they're
the truth.
Stronger.
And we don't even have the O-linemen up yet. Like, those are the true hosses. You know, Del Tufo loves to say guys in bars say, oh, I could play football. You see men like this and you're like, no, you at a bar could not.
And then there's the question of quarterbacks. We did have John Eric Sullivan and Jeff Hafley in yesterday, and I thought they were very honest about, we've talked to Tua. We've told him, you know, all options are on the table. You know, including cutting him, including keeping him. And I know Sullivan was talking about trading.
Well, he had reached out to some teams to kind of gauge the market.
I do not wish to deny our guests the platform to say whatever they wish to say.
Okay.
Not saying it's anything but the truth, but I understand the way things work around here is like, oh, yeah, we're having trade talks for Tua Tagovailoa. It could be like, hey, would you be interested in trading for him? Oh, okay, we'll call you back. You know, could be that. Could be actual.
Technically, that's a trade conversation.
I just don't know. Yeah. Again, the idea is that if Miami needs to get out from under this contract, why would you oblige them? Knowing that if you do not
wait a week
oblige he's cut, then you can get him for
pennies on the dollar.
Yeah. So Tua's in this mix about, is he still going to be with his team? Kirk Cousins, everyone is talking around here as if, and the Falcons have essentially confirmed he will be cut loose as a veteran quarterback who can be on your team by the end of the day as we're getting set for a quarterback class to show up here, as I mentioned, on Friday.
I know a spot that might be able to use.
And that would be who?
This is a familiar spot to Kirk Cousins.
What do you think?
Oh.
Minnesota?
Maybe.
Why would you say Minnesota?
Interesting. TJ.
They've got a quarterback there, TJ.
I know, but
they used the draft choice on at the top of the draft so high that they wanted to see what they still had in him to the point where the quarterback that they did have, you know, despite being offered a contract, decided not to stay there because he wanted to go to a spot where there was no competition for his job.
Never.
That guy's name is Dick Hammer. The grandson, okay, of one Hammer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Comma Dick.
Richard D. Hammer.
So.
Yeah, but Kirk Cousins also Sam got $100 million dollars in free agency.
Yeah.
Now he's going to get released.
So what? I mean, he's in the contract Hall of Fame.
So you're saying I'm wrong about this.
If Kirk Cousins goes into the contract Hall of Fame,
as he should.
Darrell Revis is slipping the jacket on him. You know what I mean? Darrell's inducting him.
He goes in with John Conkak.
He's introducing him.
Who else?
John Conkak.
Wow.
Guys like
Chase Daniel.
Made a lot of scratch.
But in all seriousness.
Chandler Parsons.
Yeah. Why would Cousins go back to Minnesota? I mean.
You can always go home again, Rich.
Well,
he thinks
he can win the job.
Yeah.
And they might be better with him.
You think Justin Jefferson would be like, oh, no, Kirk's coming.
Are you aware that 9 won 6 games last year?
We love 9. We're friends.
No, you're not. You just went higher register on me.
You did go higher register.
Okay, well, you know we like JJ. So.
Yeah, okay, good.
Okay, so.
All right. But Cousins is out there. What about Kyler Murray?
Kyler Murray is out there, too.
All right.
We might have to trade for him.
Monty Austin-Fort, general manager from the podium, was asked about his quarterback situation.
I know a lot of you are going to be on top of your mind is our quarterback situation. So, you know, here's what I would say. As I've said before, I'd say all options are on the table for us. Okay. We got Kyler, Jacoby, Keaton, all under contract. As it pertains to that position, as it pertains to every position on our team, we're going to look at every avenue to improve. And we're going to continue and go through our process with that.
I mean, that offense ran pretty good with Jacoby Brissett.
Jake Brissett.
He was winging it all over the yard, man.
He was.
Michael Wilson looked like Jerry Rice.
Right. Out of nowhere, man.
Well, here's a soundbite that's clanking around and sits atop the news stack of ESPN's NFL page about whether he and Murray have spoken.
Yeah, I've always had a good dialogue with Kyler. And, you know, I'd say, it wasn't up to what Kyler wanted. It wasn't up to, you know, what any of us wanted as the season as a whole. And so, when you had the kind of year that we had, there's a lot of room for improvement. And so we got to find a way to do that, not only at that position, at all positions, but, you know, that's what we're all focused on is getting better and moving forward.
Well, the news stack says that Austin Ford and Murray have not spoken since the end of the season.
Yeah, I think Kyler's camp refuted that they've
Listen to that soundbite. Does it sound like he said, yeah, we've spoken?
No.
I didn't explicitly say it. Start the soundbite again, everybody. Hit it.
Yeah, I've always had a good dialogue with Kyler. And, you know, I'd say, it wasn't up to what Kyler wanted. It wasn't up to, you know, what any of us wanted as the season as a whole. And so, when you had the kind of year that we had, there's a lot of room for improvement.
I've always had a good dialogue, not like I talked to Kyler.
Everybody, always not being honest with us and all that. Let me just tell you something.
Yeah.
Well, no, Rich.
No, I speak general manager.
You've been around the game for a minute.
Yeah. Stewardess, I speak GM.
See that okay. Brother Moody Mackum, lay him down and smack him.
This is Combine 22 for me, everybody. I'm not sitting on a turnip truck.
Do they still have turnip trucks?
I don't know.
I'm sure.
I haven't seen one. I don't know why I just said that.
Well, turnips still exist,
guys,
right?
I don't know. What are you, evaluating my choice of vegetables?
Everything's
back
an
off.
Evaluation.
Why not a rutabaga?
All right.
We're here.
When Dan Quinn shows up an hour or two, will he say all options are on the table for his quarterback who was injured for most of last year? Will he say all options are on the table at quarterback for Jaden Daniels in hour two? I will say you this.
I think I have a better chance of having a full head of hair tomorrow.
Okay, very good.
Well, that's not
all right. So he's not going to say that. And Monty Austin-Fort had every opportunity to say about his quarterback. He had an injury marred last season, everybody. You know, like, we didn't see, unfortunately, what we could get out of Kyler Murray last year and Drew Petzing's offense and Drew's now, as you know, in Detroit.
Right.
Talked about that with Brad Holmes. They blew up that entire offensive side of the football when they hired Mike LaFleur and said they're going to hand him the reins and say, you do what you wish with the offense. You do what you can do. And what you've picked up, we want the McVay, fruit of the McVay tree here in Arizona. And is Kyler Murray that guy? Is he that guy? You know, Mike LaFleur was the one who was with the Jets. That was who Robert Saleh brought over to be the OC when it was time to get Zach Wilson going. Mm. And as we all know, that didn't happen. Then he went back to the Rams, and now he's heading to be the Arizona Cardinals head coach. I'm just wondering if you take a look at what he just did in Los Angeles, if the best choice for what he can do isn't somebody like Jake Brisket. And somehow, some way, you can go ahead and hire somebody if you do get out from under Kyler Murray's contract in some way, shape, or form. Is that a Malik Willis spot? Where you go and you tell Malik Willis, you come here. Jacoby Brissett is the guy in the locker room who supports him, who might be out there every now and then to give you a few games. Did Brissett show you last year that he can win in those situations?
He put up good numbers. Definitely. They moved the ball. They scored a lot of points.
This does not. He says all options are on the table. When John Eric Sullivan left here yesterday and said that about Tua, what did you think? What are all the options on the table? He's not going to be there anymore. Yeah,
the Magic Johnson. Man. I'm not going to be here.
Where does Kyler Murray wind up? How about that?
Can I give you a random spot?
With Jets? You talking about the Jets? What's your random spot? Go for it.
Just throwing this out there.
What? It's the combine. Yeah. You know, we don't hold you to it. It's a dart throw. What do you got?
The Cleveland Browns.
For Kyler Murray?
Come on now.
Deshaun Watson is starting.
Let me tell you something.
For the Cleveland Browns.
Deshaun Watson
is throwing it out there.
Going to be the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. I was on ESPN radio in Cleveland earlier today. They said that there was a poll, and the poll of the fans said Shador is going to be the week one starter. And I'm like, listen, you know how much I love Shador.
But Deshaun Watson,
if you got one more year left of trying to get something out of this contract, you know, you're going to get an opportunity. And Todd Monken, if he can get anything out of Deshaun Watson close to what Deshaun Watson was like, then we're even more likely than not to having a conversation by the end of the year. Do the Browns give a new contract to Deshaun Watson?
Oh, that smells like an overreaction topic in like week six.
You talked me out of it. I
just don't know. Where is Kyler Murray fit?
Have we checked his Instagram? Did he wipe everything? Did there any clues on social media? Well, we know that's where we find
that's
everything.
That's how the Super Bowl week between the Rams and the Bengals started, if you remember. That was the Monday of that Super Bowl where like, wait
after
a minute.
Pro Bowl,
Kyler just wiped out all Arizona Cardinal references. Yep. And then, as we all know, he stayed. Mm-hmm. And then the whole new regime went out to his college campus to celebrate his statue being unveiled there.
Yeah.
And then he's sticking around. He's got his contract. And then all of a sudden last year, the football hits him in this face mask. He stumbles for the ball and then has a foot injury that knocks him out for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to talk about how when Sirianni joins in hour number three of this show, I'm going to do my best to try and find out about that iceberg in Philadelphia. We only see the tip of, and what is underneath that iceberg, and what is going on in that locker room, and why is there always this drama, and does he like it like this? I mean, I'll go down that road in hour three with him.
Some people thrive on chaos,
but
right?
there is something. And the first indication was when Kyler Murray was talking about the new facilities that are coming in 2020, and he's like, if I'm here
to see them.
Like, wait, what?
Say what?
It feels like to me, whatever team doesn't get Malik Willis will be in the Kyler Murray running after that.
Unless Murray stays put and Tua stays put, because nobody's going to take him off their hands. And Mike LaFleur's like, I've got a sense of what I can do with Kyler, who's better than what I think Malik Willis is or can be. I'll make do with him for one more year and see what we got. That's the way it could go. But this whole business of Monty, well, they haven't spoken. I just heard the GM basically say, yeah, we've got a good communication going. That's him saying we haven't spoken by saying we have spoken. Just not, you know, since the end of the season.
Yeah, just not in the last
by telling you nothing, they're telling you everything, right?
The way that he hasn't spoken with them is he basically said, hey, all options are on the table. This, we're going to speak to this guy next. Sean Payton.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast. In a world in need of a hero, one man rises to the challenge in style. He is
Just driving the kids to soccer practice. Make every day feel epic in an all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid with up to an EPA-estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, and class-leading interior space. Because when you're hauling kids' gear, snacks, and backpacks, space matters. And so does comfort. Just make sure they keep their cleats off the seats. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for details.
Sean Payton,
it was something
here on the Rich Eisen Show. Yeah. No doubt about it. How is Bill Parcells now? How's
good.
He doing?
We stay in touch. Probably we talk once a week.
You do? Did you reach out to him like during the playoffs and stuff like that?
Yeah, we would speak, I would say, regularly. It would be, look, Bill's 83 or 84. So in the morning on a drive to work, I would call him. And I know that he's 2 hours ahead.
Yes.
And he's either in Saratoga, upstate New York, during the summer months. He's spending more time there, or in Florida. And, we stay in touch quite a bit.
Okay.
He's doing really well. He's sharp as a tack. He'll be thinking of the same message maybe I will.
What to deliver to your players?
Just in each game, what he's looking at, you know. And I think because he's able to follow and watch, he's got a good idea of the strengths and weaknesses of our team, and then maybe we're playing someone else. I mean, he's very much on top of it.
So looking back at the playoffs, the narrative is that had Bo Nix not broken his ankle, you could have won the whole damn thing. Do you feel that
well,
is fair
not? I think it's unfair a little to Seattle in that. Look, they did it. You know, it's like I'm reading the Twitter feeds on the Olympic hockey, and it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so the timing obviously wasn't great, and yet certainly can't diminish from the first 2 years he's had as a pro. But it's tough. Look, it's a grind to begin with, and then the further you go, the more difficult it will be if you lose. And so it's tough to get to that spot in the playoffs and then, you know, lose to another good team.
And so where do you think your team is entering the year three of Bo Nix?
I think
look
in a good spot. I think, the first check or question always is, it's hard to draft a quarterback in the first round and develop and have success. And we feel like we found that. I mean, you know, when everyone's got an opinion, especially about the first round, and I think one of the things you have to avoid is pay attention to that bus, because none of us know who's driving it, the mocks and all the white noise, because if you get on it, you're going to find yourself with a player you don't want. Historically speaking, and no one goes back to look 3 years, 5 years down, you know, behind. But I think that having a conviction, it's harder now than it ever has been. If you're a scout, you know, how do you tune out the white noise relative to grading a player when you constantly hear others' opinions, and those others maybe have watched three games, four games. So the first big question was finding that and getting that right. And I think we feel like we've done that. And now, you know, you come off of a season like that, you got to start from the beginning again. You know, you don't pick up and try to pick up where you left off. We're going to be in a little bit better shape cap wise. We're out from the cap hit, the prior 2 years, that's significant.
Of Russell Wilson.
And so that took 2 years. And, you know, that was, you know, quite a bit of operating costs or player budget.
Yeah. And for you to have a rookie quarterback and make the
transition
playoffs 2 years in a row, including the AFC Championship
That's encouraging.
Game, for sure. There's no doubt about that. But what is that next step roster-wise that you think address over the next month here?
The thing that you have to do sometimes, which is difficult, is you have to take your current roster, and there's a handful of free agents that are on our team. So you have to remove them from your depth chart when you do the muss. And so, well, that being said, two of our inside linebackers that played quite a bit of our snaps Those are priorities. I think, you know, when you take a look at the running back position, Dobbins removed from it, that would be, so there's a handful of these musts and then needs and then wants, and you try to prioritize them. But I think sometimes for the fans to understand, when you remove the free agents from your roster, you look at it and like, holy cow, we're thin here. Mm-hmm. And it just tells you currently there's no guarantee. You know, a guy like Adam Trautman, who's a tight end, he's a free agent. There's a number of players that played on the team a year ago. So a lot of those guys are priorities. And yet you can't assume with this market that all of them are going to return. We'd like a bunch of them to. So I think you hope, like at this event, you hope when you get into this that you're trying to get the best player, and yet you're paying attention as you get into the middle rounds as to the fit
mm-hmm.
and the vision, and that would imply sometimes need. But I think that hopefully we can do enough in this, you know, because what happens when we go back is free agency starts
pretty much right away.
Right away.
Yeah.
And so it was good to us a year ago. We had some key pieces that we felt helped our team, and I think we look forward to that again. But I would say that really to answer your question, man, we're a young team. One of the younger teams in the NFL, and there are a lot of guys that have played maybe earlier than expected. And I think that playing time and that significant playing time is going to help.
Sean Payton, a few minutes left here with the Denver Broncos head coach. The competition committee, I've got some questions for you, sir. What do you?
I hope I can answer because okay. honestly,
is
I
was like telling Fight Club, are you not
well,
allowed to
no,
talk
no,
about
no,
it?
No, I can. Okay. I just haven't been yet because I got in late. And so
okay.
I'm excited to be back on.
Yeah, that's right.
And I know that, look, there are a lot of, I would say there's always a lot of hot button topics, and yet it seems this year is a little calmer.
Well, I mean, there's no tush-push conversation, right? Or do you think there
yeah.
will be?
No, I don't think there will be.
Because last year, that's all that was being talked
yeah,
about.
Yeah, and so, yeah, I think, look, I don't know that we saw it as effective. I think we saw teams deciding if we're going to do it, we might have Billy do it.
Yeah.
Maybe not the quarterback or
right.
a tight end. And then it became we're always looking for ways to draw defense offside. So we would bring a tight end behind this, you know.
Yes.
But I don't think, I don't think it's at the top of anyone's list, at least from my vantage point right now. I think the single biggest change we've seen, you and I, in our lifetime.
Yes, sir.
Is the kickoff change.
I love the dynamic kickoff. I think it's great. Unfortunately, though, it removes moments like your Super Bowl moment, man.
Well,
because like, now you got to declare.
Yeah.
You can know the surprise onside kicks history,
I
man.
Think, I would agree. The one thing that I find now as a coach is, man, that ball is starting at the 35, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to cover that.
Yes.
But even the average drive start, let's say, might be 32. And when a punt goes into the end zone anymore, I'm kind of still celebrating. It's at the 20.
That's right.
Backed up.
Yeah, right.
When they're really not. All right. So hear me out.
Yes, sir.
We would always defer. And the by and large, most of the coaches win the toss, they defer. But if you watch where the second possession of a game begins, it's almost always backed up inside the 15 or 20 mm-hmm. because the first possession has begun in this positive field position.
Mm-hmm.
There's a neutral spot on the field, call it the 24, 23-yard line. But when the first possession begins at the 33 or 34, give or take, let's just say one first down, maybe, punt, where's that ball? And where drives are starting today, and I think it's created, look, there's always an effect, right? There's always a result, but I think it's created the scoring at the end of game. Like when you say, hey, we have a lead, but you're kicking off, you're like, they're going to be at midfield.
Yeah, they are. And now somebody could split the uprights from there, too.
Yeah.
With the
kickers. Exactly right. That's exactly right. So it's interesting.
It's fascinating.
But the punt that goes into the end zone,
It's a relief.
It's like 20 yard line.
That's funny, man. Right. Things have changed.
The coffin corner.
Right. No doubt about it.
20 yard line. I'm high-fiving the punter.
What about replacing the onside kick with an offensive play?
I'm not a big fan. Not a big fan. Look, if you want, tell me the percentage you want to recover those onside kicks. Let's say we want it to be 12%.
That's more than what it is right now, right?
Yeah, I think, look, they tweak the alignments, and you can – now, this is what you have to declare, obviously. So we're not talking about – but I'm saying if you want that to be 10%, we can tweak it to get it to 10, to 9, just by – not with guys moving forward, but how they align to the ball.
Okay.
It's just a matter of if you want that other way. I still think the most exciting ending to an NFL game is when a team's down two scores – and they score a touchdown. The onside kick is exciting when you know it's coming as well, right?
Oh, yeah, and the ball's around, and who has it, who doesn't.
Seattle, Green Bay,
yeah,
right?
Or obviously Green Bay and Chicago this year.
Yeah, and so the onside kick, and I think we can play with that to get the number where we want it based on alignment.
Mm-hmm.
Should put four offensive linemen on your return team.
What about a replay assist being able to put a flag on the field? What do you think of
that? I think the way I understand it's going to be for some of the unsportsmanlike stuff that you see that everyone wants. When we have eyes to something that's kind of ugly, a fight or something, and then you see this other element, it's hard if the sheriff's arresting the wrong guy sometimes.
Sean, I was saying all season long now that the retaliator getting popped as opposed to the guy who started it should be over now. If there's video of who started it,
Going to the 7-Eleven security camera, and we're looking at it, and this guy stole the Slim Jims.
It's pretty much.
That's him.
You're right. Exactly. So you should pop that guy. So that's what it's for. It's not for a face mask.
I don't think it's for putting flags on the field for football. I think it's really about cleaning up some things.
Okay.
But again, in fairness, I'm looking forward to tomorrow be my first morning. And so, the way I read some of the quotes, it appears that it'll help them clean up what we all get to see. And that's the thing, it's covered so well now, the angles we have and the cameras we have. I think it'll just help the officials. And that's really what we want to do.
Who's the proudest guy that you spotted at a combine and pounded a table for who turned out in your career?
Kamara. Yeah.
What, you saw him working out here?
Well, it was just the process. We had just finished working out Mahomes. We had a private with Patrick in Lubbock. And right after that, it was like, all right, we're not stopping. I don't want anyone to know we're here. And we flew to Knoxville that night.
Yeah.
And had dinner with 12 Tennessee players. There was a defensive end. It was going to get drafted. A group of players. But it was a private workout for them as well. And the next morning came. And all our assistants were there to work everyone out. And I said to Alvin, I'll take the running backs. And he wasn't planning on working out. And I said, look, I've coached running backs, you know. And I said, get your shoes on. It's going to be a half an hour. and just put him through really some routes to see his hands.
Yeah.
And then this thing continued. And you felt his football intelligence. Falk had that.
Speaking of guys you coached in college.
Well, that's what I said to Kamara. I said, I've coached Falk. You know, I can coach
college. Right. Damn straight.
But Alvin was one of those guys that when that workout ended and he finished catching punts, I remember we were flying to Ohio State and I'm like, we're on a roll. You know, we just had the one in Texas Tech. There's our first. You know, we just kept going. But Alvin's was exceptional. You could feel his football intelligence along with his skill set, and there's so many though. There's everyone's got like a closet full of stories of draft room. You know, I remember sitting, I was with the Giants, and there's always that little rivalry with the local Jets.
Sure.
You know, you're trifecta would be the NFC East loses Eagles, Cowboys, Commanders, and you win. All right. The superfecta is when those three teams lose and the Jets lose. And you win. So
sure.
So
I love it.
We were in a draft. I can't think of the year. I think we were selecting one after the Jets. So we'd probably be able to do the math. There's probably, it's only happened probably once or twice, but in the first round, the receiver
Santonio Holmes.
Lavernius
Coles?
Moss.
Santana Moss.
Santana Moss.
Right, okay.
University of Miami.
Sure.
The Jets are on the clock, and that pick gets turned in, and our room going silent. You know, that was our selection. You know, so it happens in a good way sometimes. You don't really appreciate when it happens in the positive because you don't really know it happened.
Sure, right.
But when it doesn't happen, you know, and so I remember when that happened. That was the first time for me as a young coach to see, man, that was a tough one.
Well, I'm with everything you said, I know you got to run, but just to follow up, because the story goes that you were red hot for Mahomes and Andy Reid and the Chiefs beat you to the punch. Well, is that true?
Yeah.
Like, and that you were ready to snag Patrick Mahomes for the Saints?
We were picking 11, and this story's been told a number of times, but we were picking 11. Buffalo was on the clock at 10. There were two players. So when you typically have this puddle group of players, and if you're on the clock, if someone's on the clock two away from you, then you better have two you like.
Yeah.
And so the team prior to Buffalo made their choice. It wasn't Mahomes or Lattimore. And those were our two.
Yes.
And so now Buffalo's on the clock, but we know we're getting one of those two.
Yep.
And when they announced there's been a trade, it wasn't that announcement. It was with who. And then as soon as they said the Chiefs, I turned to Loomis and I said, there goes Mahomes. Because I just knew Andy and those guys had a good eye for, you know, respectfully, you know, had a good eye for that type of talent.
But who, if both were available,
I think
Mahomes or Lattimore.
Yeah, it was going to be Patrick, and yet it ended up being like this is always hindsight. Mm-hmm. But Patrick was the defensive rookie of the year, and Kamara in the third round was the offensive rookie of the year.
Yeah.
And in that third round, this draft was just given some award. It was Lattimore, it was Ramchek, it was Marcus Williams, and then in the third it was Kamara, Hendrickson, and Anzalone in the third round.
Not
we
bad.
Couldn't pay them all.
Not bad. I know.
It was remarkable. It was really, and all of them love football. And then you just hope to have that kind of problem with the draft selection. But that was something.
You're the man, Sean Payton. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Doing this. I always appreciate you. Always
I'll appreciate
yes.
our friendship.
Right back at you. Yep. Yeah, right, many of them started right here in
Absolutely.
This town.
Absolutely.
Great to see you.
Great seeing you.
Sean Payton, the head coach of the Denver Broncos, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Back with more from Indianapolis in a moment.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here, I know she's going to be somewhere.
That's the voice of Reuben Bain Jr. Our radio audience has just rejoined us here on our second day here at the NFL Scouting Combine. Reuben Bain Jr. is here. When did you realize you were good at football? When did that hit you for the first time?
Honestly, I always felt like I was good at football because I always made plays from my little league. But I really realized, well, I could take football around eighth grade.
Eighth grade.
Yes, sir.
What were you playing? Were you always rushing the passer? Or
always.
Or were you playing tight end? Were you on offense?
I was always stuck on the line of scrimmage just because I was bigger than everybody at the time. And
how big were you in the eighth grade?
I was about six feet, and I was about 13.
Okay.
I was like 200, 210.
At age 13.
Yeah. But I was never like, I just looked just like this at 200, 210, and just fell in love with the game of football. I watched clips on YouTube and go practice whatever I seen in practice.
Whose clips were you watching?
At the time it was Von Miller and like Khalil Mack. But a ghost move, you couldn't tell me I didn't have a perfect ghost move when I was 13.
Okay.
That was something I was always doing and just trying to learn about football in the right way and just practice it. And whatever I liked, or whatever I liked I seen, and whatever I liked that worked, that's what I really fell in love with.
What did you show people in the college football playoffs, do you think?
That I'm the best defensive player in the draft, the best in the country. I felt like you could see from my energy, my motor, my want to, how I approach the game, each game, and no matter what the opportunities or the odds stacked against us, I just wanted to lead my team in the right direction and have a dominant showcase.
What were you thinking when people were saying you didn't deserve to be in the college football playoff?
I ain't really paying no more. Honestly,
come on now. You paid
I knew he was going to get in. I had a real good gut feeling. I knew he was going to get
mean?
In. I had a gut feeling.
Because you know, it was this, that, the other thing. Yeah, Notre Dame here, BYU
was,
there.
We put too much work in for it not to happen. And I knew that God had us in the right way.
Okay.
So once they gave us the opportunity, we just seized it.
Maybe just the selection committee knew if they didn't put you in, they get the belt from Michael Irvin.
They had to, man. He was going to be right there going crazy.
What do you think of Irv?
Oh, man, he's a hell of a mentor, but that man is crazy. That man is definitely crazy.
I've known him forever. He was at my wedding.
He was?
He was.
He probably was up at the tent of attention.
Michael Irvin, he showed up in an electric blue tuxedo at my wedding on my wife's side. I didn't know Michael yet. He knew my wife from working at Fox Sports back in the day.
That's on spot for
so he was there. He spoke at my daughter's baby naming. Oh, Irv is family to me.
Yeah, he is, man.
But I can admit, he is definitely
he
off
up.
His right.
He's riled up. He's riled up.
What was that like for you to have him and Ray Lewis and all these, you know, you greats on the sideline during your...
Second to none, because I feel like this is the only experience you can only get at Miami, knowing that you got all these Hall of Famers that's coming one after another to come see you and support you and try to like guide you and pay it forward.
Like this guy?
Yeah, that man is crazy. But God joined paying for it. And even like when we played Ohio State, he was like, man, y'all got to win. Y'all got to show out. Y'all in my stadium. And when he put that in my perspective, I'm like, yeah, you're right. We got to show out.
That's right. It was Dallas, wasn't it?
Maybe it was.
See, he told you, you cannot lose this game in my stadium.
Yeah, he said it. And I was like, you said, you're right. We can't.
Who have you reached out to? Who is part of your inner circle, Ruben Bain?
My inner circle? Yeah. I'd say first my family. I have a real tight circle with my family. I have a huge family, but they all support me in an amazing way.
Could you mention your mom before?
My mom, my dad, or cousins, uncles.
Okay.
Huge family, but like each game, I probably have 20 to 25 family members at each game, whether that's home or away.
Right.
And they all support me in the best possible way. Just giving me the energy that I need to succeed throughout my days and all my nights.
Okay. So how many interviews have you had here?
Former interviews, 15.
15?
Yes, sir.
Already?
Yes, sir.
In the books?
Yes, sir.
Do you have any more tonight?
No, only informal.
Okay. Which is what? Just you chit-chatting?
Basically.
Okay.
It's not in the, like, it is in a professional setup, but not in a professional setting of the suites and with the entire style.
So have the Raiders met with you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Going down the list here. The Jets met with you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The Cardinals met with you?
Yes, sir.
All right. The Titans met with you?
Yes, sir.
All right. So we're now 4-for-4 off the top of the draft.
Yes, sir.
The Giants. Have the Giants met
with
you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Have the Browns met with you?
No, sir. They did. First one.
Oh. I mean, wouldn't you want to play with Myles Garrett?
Man, that's my favorite player. I've been watching him since, like when I was 13, I've been watching him since forever. So I had an opportunity to second to none. That's all who I watch, all who I chip, but really.
Okay. Commanders? You met with the Commanders?
Yeah, I met with them as well.
Okay. Saints? You met with the Saints?
Yes, sir.
How about the Chiefs? You met with the Chiefs?
Yes, sir.
Man, that's top 9 right there.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
So you're going to be a top 10 pick in this draft?
God willing, hopefully.
Top 5?
God willing, hopefully.
Okay.
If I could go
one, let's speak it into existence.
Yes, sir. You're right.
Right? You think you'd be worthy of the Vegas Raiders?
Yes, sir. Knowing that, I got the right mindset to uplift any team I go to. I got the right mindset to uplift the guys I'm playing with and produce and dominate on any level.
Okay.
I feel like me and Max Crosby is a wonderful, crazy duo that teams will hate to see.
Good luck to you, Ruben Bain.
Thank you.
Thanks for stopping by here.
Yes, sir.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.